All right, well, yep. Robin, please continue.
Yep. So it's pretty clear in this area, which is just an example of around Cobscook Bay, that's what looks like holdfast removal at low tide looks like, and here's what it looks like underwater. So we had a diver swim a transect right after the machine left, and that was what it looked like behind. So that's what it looks like when it hasn't been touched.
Very dense, then. So no wonder it slows waves down and so on, then.
And you can see some of them have been left, and they're way up high, curling over like the tops of oak trees. So then we get back to this question of, doesn't it just grow back? So this is a plant that I cut 16 months earlier in Cobscook Bay. You can see the blunt cut ends. And this is the amount of growth that's come back beyond the red line in 16 months.
You know, on the end of those fronds that are bent over?
Yep. So here too. So you, about that much. So Cobscook is really cold, so in terms of the range of values for growing slowly and growing quickly, probably the Cobscook seaweed is growing the slowest because the water's really cold. But not only that, but it gets transformed. Once it is cut, it's just like cutting off the top of, you know, any land plant, that the inhibition of what's happening at the side shoots is removed. And so there's a lot of side growth. So herein lies the key to why the industry is saying that it grows back, because what they're focused on is biomass, because naturally that would be what they would be focused on. And when people like me say, no, it's not growing back, we're interested in canopy. We're interested in, is it the same as before the machine or the rake came along and cut this tall, in Cobscook sometimes 6 foot tall plant, down to 16 inches or 20 inches or 24 inches. So this was said pretty well by a guy in the Canadian federal government. In other words, the regrowth to pre-harvest biomass after 1 year is simply a production of shorter bushy plants rather than a recovery of the original elongated canopy with most of its biomass in the upper portions of the canopy here, where the eider chicks can get their amphipods. So the impacts from a conservationist point of view, from an ecologist point of view, is that it's altering habitat structure, community composition, reducing nutrient input into the ecosystem, because the rockweed that would naturally break up and go and put nutrients back into the ecosystem is being carried away. Removes snail prey of black ducks. There was actually a study done at Grand Manan where they found in rockweed harvested areas that had steep cliffs, the abundance of common eider chicks was reduced relative to control plots, and there's reduced biomass in cut areas from another published study that was done. So, turning to management, so the state decided to write these management plans for all the species that it manages, and it decided to start with rockweed. It could have started with something easy, but it decided to start with rockweed. So, it developed this plan development team, which was a group of people that were designated to write a management plan over a series of months and then present that management plan to the legislature. Dave was on it. I was not on it. And after that plan was written, it came out in January 2014, but the part that was left out because they ran out of time was, where are the conservation areas going to be? You know, where are the no-cut areas going to be? There are going to have to be areas like Cobscook set aside that are just going to be left alone. And it was taking too long. It would be too long a process to figure that out. So the group that's working on it now is called the Rockweed Working Group, and it's their job to figure out if there are going to be no-cut areas, and if so, where the no-cut areas going to be. So, I mean, you see there's several options. It could be like Cobscook Bay. All the conservation areas could actually be in conservation and have no-cut areas. Or it could be just a few selected sites with data from those particular sites demonstrating wildlife value, like shorebird feeding or roosting areas. Will the coastal conservation groups be involved, and will towns be involved?